praise the Lord. So Brother Joshua, William Branham said, one cent. Apostle means one cent. And apostle means missionary. But you have to let me understand this scripture, Brother Joshua. He said, I think it's in Luke chapter 10. Jesus sent 70 from verse 1. Jesus sent 70 of his disciples to go and preach. That was before his death and resurrection. We are there, apostles. They were not apostles. So all the missionaries that came to Harajuku, including women, Mary Celeste, that went to Calabar, Missionary Society of Nigeria, Missionary Society in England, that were pumping missionaries all over Africa, all over the world, Africa, India, all of them. So their apostles have been. Matthew 28 verse 19. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel. Was that meant? Hallelujah. For only apostles? Is it not the same reason why we are going to preach everywhere today? Are we all apostles as we respond to that commandment? Go and preach. Has he not sent us? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Therefore, when you are hearing, listening to Will Abraham, make sure you listen to him with a filter also. And that filter is the Bible. So that you'll understand what that prophet is saying. Praise the Lord. Brother Joshua, they asked Will Abraham in question and answer, will the bride of Christ have a ministry before the rapture? And Will Abraham answered, yes now. He said, that is what is going on right now. He said it is the message of the hour. And that it consists of the fivefold. As at the time that William Branham was preaching. And he said that is what is going on right now. The message of the hour. Did we have those ministries, those fivefold ministries in existence at that time? Praise God. So you have to also understand him. And he said that the bright ministry, he said that ministry will be a great ministry. He said it is the ministry of the hour. And it is the bright ministry. But church, and then he added that it will be so humble. But church, listen, according to the divine agenda, yes, the bride will have her ministry. And that ministry is the ministry, it is the time of the adoption. And that takes place in John's ministry. That takes place in Revelation chapter 10 from verse 8 to verse 11. Let's read it. Revelation chapter 10 verse 8. Are we there? Revelation chapter 10, verse 8. It says, are we there? Revelation, it says, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go, or tell John, and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And that angel is the angel that stood between verse 1 and verse 6 of Revelation chapter 10. The archangel. And that is the same archangel that Apostle Paul referred to in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16. The second stage of the rapture, the voice of the archangel that produced the seven thunders. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. Verse 11 is the emphasis. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. And we know John has since died. And he did not prophesy to many nations, to many peoples and kings and tongues. Therefore, by the spirit of revelation, we know in this age that he's talking about a move of God that will be global. And that is the last move that will take place, and the rapture will strike. Something will happen within a group of people on this earth that will shake the whole world. And when it comes, it will. I remember it is John. And I have tried to break this down several times in our messages. Get them, listen to them. And that John was a symbol of love also. And that the time is going to come when the bride of Jesus Christ will be so united in love. And when you come together like that, when that time comes, something is about to happen. And that will only happen from the things that you will hear through the seven thunders. And that is why whatever those seven thunders said, God stopped, the angels stopped John from writing it. So nobody knows what those seven thunders said. Anybody that said seven thunders have been revealed, just know that they are just one of those distracting spirits that have entered the message. Distracting your focus. So that which you are expecting, you will miss it. Nothing like that. You ask them, okay, what is this saying? You will see how they will tell you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What those seven thunders will say, will give you rapturing faith. That will make you be so heavily minded. You won't want to have anything to do with this earth. You will then see reason to come closer to one another. There are things we shall hear that will cause us to come together. Oh, certainly. And we'll be so unique. That period, you are not looking at who is apostle, who is evangelist, who is pastor. That is the time that they will know there are believers on earth. But before they get us, bam, the rapture takes place. Glory be to God. Are you in that number? Are you in that number? Are you in that number? I've said this statement before and I'll repeat it. Every messenger, including Apostle Paul, including those early apostles, including William Branham, John Wesley, Luther, all those monumental, preachers that had great followership and great revelations and great move of God in their ministries. Every one of them at their time believed that the rapture would take place at their time. William Branham even predicted, he thought that by 1977, the rapture should strike. Including me here, I believe that the rapture will take place at my own time. Everyone of us. There's a way you get so much depth of revelation until you just know that nothing more is left. Your own time, that is when it will take place. Therefore, When William Branham begins to make some statements, it is because of the abundance of the grace of God around him that makes him speak like that. But let me tell you, God is not going to come according to William Branham. And God is not going to come according to Pastor Moses. God has his divine agenda. And he holds it closely to his chest. At the junction of time, he will reveal what he wants to reveal for that time. As the gospel moves along, as the journey moves along, blessed be the name of the Lord. Whatever you have in your own age, that is what he will use to judge you by. Whatever you know, maybe when John ministry will start, some of us will not be alive. But the one I know before I die, that is the one he will judge me with. The Lutherans that died before they got sanctification, but they believe justification, they are part of the bride. They are the bride for that age. But they were smoking. They were drinking alcohol. But they had a light. The little one that was revealed to them, they held on to it. God will judge them by that light. Our own, he has a light he has also given us. And all of you are hearing it now. If you turn it down, then you have no part in it. But the one you have been given, if you hold on to it, even though we not hear thunder, we not hear John, if we die with the little one he has given us, we are in the bride. In the resurrection morning, when the dead in Christ arise,
arise, hallelujah, we shall rise.
You didn't answer. You don't, you are not sure. Let me sing it again. It says, then the saints will come rejoicing, and no tears will ever be found.
We shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise. Oh, we shall rise,
we shall rise,
hallelujah, we shall rise, amen, we shall rise, hallelujah,
in the resurrection,
in the resurrection morning, when the prince must approve.
A songwriter said, I am thinking of the rapture of the blessed woman
on high when the reading are gathering in. I will raise a
heavenly anthem
in the city, in the sky.
Oh,
when the reading are oh, when the reading.
Of the rapture, because I believe it will take place in my time. If it not take time in my time, I have nothing to lose. The one where he showed me, I catch him. Amen. I catch him, that's why I'm not selling anointing. I catch him, that's why I'm baptizing like the apostles baptized. I catch him, that's why I'm not ordaining my wife as a minister. Hallelujah. I catch him, that's why I am not having branches anywhere and appointing and selecting and depositing and pastor. Praise the Lord. I catch, and that's why I can never join any denominational system. I catch, and that's why I am ordinary pastor, not reverend doctor. I catch him. I catch, and that's why here, hallelujah, this whole world can never hold me. Any
moment I'll be gone, for I made my consecration, and I have my wedding garment on.
I catch him. That's why I'm not a fornicator. I catch him. Hallelujah. That's why I can never stand here and give a lying prophecy to make me look like what I am not. I never do that. I know more than the things I know, too much for me to behave like others behave. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know too much to come here and bend the scripture, because there is one big man here where they give us money. I enter his house here and they drink beer. You go here and for altar the next day. Big man. Praise God. I go visit you, finish, big man. Then you bring lager, they drink. You know, I won't talk to you in your house. I'll come to the pulpit. When I finish with you, you still come to church the next day, then you'll be seed of God, true. You can't use money and close my mouth. You can't, oh. Amen. You can't use money and close my mouth. So, why will I not preach the truth? Anything I tell you here, I tell you from my heart. That is what I know. If I say different, a mistake. Not deliberate for to achieve any selfish motive. Because I want to go to this heaven. I must go. I don't know how many people can say it. Oh, me, I must go. Oh, this world is not my home.
Oh, I'm just a passing treasure. Somewhere beyond the blue, though angels speak of me from heaven's troubled mind, and I can be loved in this world. And you know, oh, you know, I am no friend like you. If heaven is not my home, then your angels welcome me from heaven's good door. And I can't be alone in this world anymore.
There's a country far beyond the starry sky.
There's a city,
there's a city
where I never come to night.
I want to go there, I want to go there.
We shall be on a beautiful
better, please. Sit down first, sit down first. Anytime I sing about heaven, I forget myself. Hallelujah. Anytime I sing about heaven, I forget myself. I don't forget, say, I don't answer a question. One songwriter says, some call it heaven, I call it home. He said, some call it dreaming, but I say, let me dream on. He says, some call it paradise. He says, somewhere beyond the sky. Some call it heaven, but I call it home. It's my home. It's my home. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. These days in Christianity is when you are talking about prosperity, you will make you become billionaires. That is the one that charges the people. Yeah, pastor, right on, say it. Poverty don't keep me finished. This year I must make it. But why shall it profit a man? You gain the whole world, you lose your soul. The gospel of the cross has been belittled. Now it is gospel of prosperity, 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 to the detriment of your soul. But this heaven, I must. If you reach there before me, just look for me. You will see me there. You must go there. Not because I'll be pastor. Many pastors will not make it. Nobody goes to heaven because you are a minister of God. You go to heaven because you are a Christian. And there are many pastors that are witches. And some of them are carrying the sermon books of William Branham. But witch. They are witches. So let me finish with Brother Joshua. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I still repeat. There's something William Branham said in his quote. He said, the apostle, he says, is a setter in order. A special man. A man sent from God to set things in order. And I say, yes, that is who the apostle is. And the Bible says, if the foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Take note of something. I've said it, that when you read scriptures, like 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let's read it again. From verse 9. It says, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 9. This is the way Apostle Paul put it. From the choice of that language, the language used there, it gives you a picture of what is going on spiritually. For we are laborers. When he say we, who is he referring to as the we? They are those early ministers of the gospel and those apostles. For we are laborers together with God. He said, you are God's husbandry. You are God's what? What did he call us? Say it very loud. Call that word. What did he say? Building. Emphasis. Building. Okay? Then he said, according to the grace of God which is given unto me. It's a grace. It's a ministry. He said, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. He recognized that his own ministry was a foundation laying ministry. Then he added, another builder thereon. He did not say he will build on top. He said his own foundation. Then another one is coming to build upon the foundation that he has laid. So what is Apostle Paul's ministry? It is foundation laying ministry. in that building that God is building, there must be foundation. Every building without a foundation will crumble. This house that God is building, called the temple of God, has a ministry for every aspect of it. And the most important of all is the foundation. Because any other thing you build can only come upon that foundation. It's so important. So, what was the ministry? All those first church age ministers, they were all apostolic ministry because they were all laying the foundation. Whether it is Barnabas or Timothy or Titus, they were all laying foundation. Amen. And so Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 1, he said, if any man preaches any other thing contrary to what we have preached, including Jude, including Timothy, including Titus, we, including Barnabas, Peter, all of them, anybody that will come to preach anything contrary to what they have preached, let that person be accursed, because no other foundation. Let's read it. Hallelujah. Verse 10 again. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builded thereon. But let every man take heed how he builded thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay. Other foundation can no man lay. Now that is laid, which is what? Jesus Christ. Let me read it up to verse 15. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20. You have to see it, because don't just assume you know it. They are gnashing their teeth. Amen. Oh, glory be to God. What does verse 20 say? It's verse 19 and 20. It says, now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon what? The foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. What is our foundation? It's the foundation of the apostles. The apostles that laid the foundation, they are our foundation. And since there is no other foundation to be laid, there cannot be a foundation laying ministry again. Hallelujah. Apostolic ministry. Do you know that Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1 refers to Christ as the apostle and high priest of our profession? Who is our apostle therefore? Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is the rock upon which we stand. Hey, glory be to God. He is the foundation upon which we stand. Upon this rock I build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. Oh, glory be to God. Go to that Hebrews chapter 3 again and see the way Apostle Paul put it. Verse 5 to 6. Hebrews chapter 3. Just watch the language that he uses there. He said, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which we are to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house are we? We are the house of Jesus Christ. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end, the church of Jesus Christ is the house of Christ himself. And he is the one building it. And he has been building it in the last 7 church ages. And he started that house with a foundation. Oh, glory be to God. Go back to that Ephesians chapter 2 again. Let me bring out something there again. Or you should point something out for me. Ephesians chapter 2. From verse 19 again. Okay, we've read it, but let me just read it all over. But I'll read it this time to verse 20. From verse 22. He said, now they have just catch the language. Ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. See where I am going. In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into an holy temple in the Lord. In whom you also are builded together. For what? A habitation of God through the Spirit. The church of Jesus Christ is a building, is a house that God has been building. And that is what types, is typed by the Temple of Solomon. Everything in the Old Testament is speaking about Christ and his church. You have to understand that to understand the New Testament and understand grace. That in the Old Testament, David proposed to build a house for God, but God told him no, and gave the reasons. You shed too much blood to build my house, but your son will build it. But God was going to speak a parable for us. Now David himself prepared all the materials for the building of that temple before he died. All the stones, all everywhere, everything was prepared for the son, Solomon. It was the son, Solomon, that did the building. But throughout that period, amen. And remember, all the materials that were used for the building of that temple, it came from all over the world. It didn't come from Israel only. Everywhere, materials from everywhere. So, that speaks of predestination. There is a book of life from the foundation of the world. Those who will be Christians have already been prepared by God himself for Christ. He said, all the Father has given me will come to me. Oh, glory be to God. He said, you cannot even come to Christ except the Father who sent him draw you. So you are a Christian today by predestination. God has prepared you a place in that building. And when it was time for the building to take shape, amen, you don't struggle for recognition. Oh, glory be to God. You don't come and announce, hey, I am the cornerstone. I am the head. I am the stone here. I am the branch here. I am this. You don't struggle to say, I am apostle. I am prophet. I am this. No. Once it is time for you to come in, you just come and fit in there. Boy. You already prepared from the foundation of the world. Oh, glory be to God. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And the Bible said, throughout, it lasted for 7 years. 7 church ages. 7 years that temple was being built. And he said, throughout the construction of the temple of Solomon, he said, there was no sound of chisel or hammer heard. When it is time for this stone, all they do is to look for where that stone is. They will bring it. It will just fit in there. If you come, it not fit in, they take you back. They will not force you and take you to Bible school and shape you. Once you call, you just sit in there. Bam. Hallelujah. If you have any ministry and you are struggling with that ministry, it is evident that is not your calling. That's not your calling. That's not your calling. Look for your calling. Look for where you belong. And when you are there, you just fit in there. No schism. No schism. No jealousy. No rancor. No fight. You just fit in there. So is the body of Christ. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is why he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, first, he said some first from verse 27 and 28. Let's read it. Verse 27 and 28. Now ye are the body of Christ. And in particular now, and members, you are members in particular. That is, you are a part of that body, a particular part, an identified part of that body. And God has set some in the church. First, see the language. What is the first office he established? Why? Because they are the ones that will lay the foundation. Since there is no more foundation we are laying, nobody can come and say he is an apostle. Oh, glory be to God. You know, some people look at this as if I am insulting some people. Some people are looking at this as if, see, listen. If somebody come to me and say he's a pastor, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? It means he has a congregation. Then when you ask him, where is your church? Then he tells you, actually I don't have a church, I just go about. Then you can tell him, brother, you are not a pastor. Now is that an insult? Now you are bearing a wrong title. Since you go about, it means you are an evangelist. So what I expect you to do is to now learn and say, oh, I'm bearing a wrong title, because the work you are doing, it's not the work of a pastor, but you are bearing pastor. So the person that tells you, brother, you are not a pastor because you have no congregation. Now he is teaching you so that you will change your name to evangelist or a teacher. So most of those who are claiming they are apostle is because there is something they know. They are eloquent, or they have an ability to convey, or there is a depth of revelation of scripture that come to them. Therefore, and then they go up and down to places, you are either of these two. You are either a teacher or you are an evangelist. That's all. Stop hearing the word apostle, because you are not an apostle, because there is no foundation you are laying. That's all. Change to teacher. Now, the reason why they get angry is because people are looking for position. So, to them, if I say you are not an apostle, it means I am demoting them. And that is an insult. And that is pride. And William Branham say the fivefold ministry will be very humble. And I agree with him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If there is anybody that will make claim in the entire message of any big office, I will have been the one. If you are talking about people who go from church to church, amen, they have been inviting me up and down. Any church I reach, I will leave stories behind. Praise God. And if it is because you go about establishing churches, I've established church everywhere around the Europe, everywhere. I've gone, I've ordained them everywhere. And we are talking about followership. No entire message preacher in the whole world has the followership that I have. And yet, Brother Moses, who are you? I am a pastor. Am I not a pastor? Are you not my sheep? Praise the Lord. I am a pastor. I am Pastor Moses. Amen. And if you see anything beyond me being a pastor, you are Antichrist spirit. Because I have taught you here. I've taught you here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I forgot to also add something here that's coming to my mind. Listen. I told you, I said, all of us, before you became a Christian, God has already prepared you in advance. Eh? Now, the same thing also. The fivefold ministry, all of them, number one, apostle. Number two, what? Prophet. Evangelist. Teacher. Pastor. Teacher. Five of them. Listen. Each of these people that God chooses, the ministry you occupy, watch it. You will be born from your mother's womb with it. And that is why, when it is time for them, for God to begin to use them in those offices, they don't struggle with it. The prophet, immediately he was born when he was small. Immediately he was small, the mother will see that he is seeing something. He'll be saying some things there, he'll be odd. So it is not when he became a Christian that he started seeing vision. He was born with it. A prophet is born a prophet. So there is no school to become a prophet. It is only at the appropriate time the anointing comes. And then God takes over what he has ordained you for. All of you that have any ministry, that is, anybody that struggle. Look, a prophet that is born like that. See, while others fast, they do try fasting so that they will receive vision. The one that is born with it, even if he stand up from woman, they fornicate. A candle microphone. You could see. Whether he eats or he don't eat does not affect the gift. It's there. But that is not a condition that he will go to heaven. It's a workman, laborer in the house of God. What of evangelists? The evangelist cannot stay in one place. He is a flighty person. Go here today, go here today. Waka waka. In his nature, he cannot stay in one place. Therefore, he is the type, if there is a reason to go anywhere, he will jump out. Let me go. He has that. And the pastor, right from when he's growing up, if where there are up to three of them, he will be the leader of the other two. Oh, yes. Anywhere he is, he will be leader. Oh, yes. Anywhere from school, he will be class monitor. He will be prefect. Oh, yes. Anywhere, if he join military, he will be squad leader. Oh, yes. Anywhere, if he join Boy Scout, he will be squad leader. Oh, yes. If he go NYC, he go command parade. Oh, yes. Anywhere he goes, he's in front. He's not the one scheming to be there. But there's something around him. They will always pick him out. Pick him out. Praise God. And when they become pastors, they have the ability to lead. You don't train them how to lead. People learn from them how to lead. But they didn't learn from anywhere. They were born with it. Which one again? Teacher. Hey, book person. Right from where he's small. Read. Anything. Anything in a book. He go read. He loves to read. Read. But a teacher cannot teach except he has knowledge. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so we have to try them. And we have tried them that say they are apostles. By this word. We found them to be liars. Because even the apostles, such a mighty office goes with a vindication. That is the sign of an apostle. And many of them that say so, in fact, all of them that I know, there's no bingling sign of an apostle. Where is the healing? Where is the deliverance that follow your grammar? Nothing like that. And they are the ones that have caused confusion. And let me tell you something. God in his infinite mercy. This nonsense has been going on for years. And God never raised anybody to bring out this revelation I am bringing. The reason is this. He was waiting for the appointed time when there will be a platform like a television like this. Where everybody will be watching and hearing. Then he begins to drop the revelation now. Say it and scatter that nonsense. The whole world, they are now hearing it all at the same time. Because this is the time for that to be corrected. We are not part of that confusion. We will never be part of that confusion. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands for Jesus now. I don't finish.